Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Infinite Weekly, an extension of the Infinite Lives and Games podcast. I'm your host, Victor Diaz, also known by my gamer tag as Seth Infinite. Here on Infinite Weekly, we got gaming reviews, we got laughs, we got rants, we got raves, we got it all. And today is going to be another solo episode. I've been wanting to do this episode for a very long time, considering I've been playing this game for quite a while. I played it so many times, and I just want to give my honest takes and opinions on it because it has mixed me up in a lot of different ways. It has stirred up a lot of questions within me about being a Resident Evil fan, about difficulty in video games, and just overall this whole game in general. Now, there is going to be major spoilers towards the middle, or, you know, when I start getting into the episode, but I just want you guys to know that this is just raw, my honest opinion on Resident Evil Village. I tried to really like Resident Evil Village. Let's just start off the bat by saying that. If you are not a huge Resident Evil fan and you are a casual gamer, this is a game for you. This game succeeds tremendously at what it was intended to do, if I'm being honest. Like, if you are a casual gamer or a casual Resident Evil fan, this game is a perfect experience. It's everything you want. It's action, it's a little bit of scares. The pacing of the game seems natural, fun. The gameplay is fluid. The guns feel great. The graphics look amazing. And the way that I'm going to break down this, I guess, review of Resident Evil Village is I'm going to go by how I played the game and then just through each playthrough tell you why I started to like the game less and less as I started to see more and more and realize more and more of this game. So the first time I played Resident Evil Village, I started off on hardcore difficulty because I'm a veteran of Resident Evil and I just play a lot of video games, if you obviously couldn't tell. So I wanted the challenge right off the bat. And the thing is that while I played the game through my first playthroughs, I started to see and feel things, but I just ignored them because I was generally having such a great time playing this game. So this game looks freaking amazing. The graphics are amazing. The way the character models look and feel, and like you can actually see, you know, the breath and the wind and the cold air and all the environments, the bayou, the castles, the factory. Everything looks amazing. Even the interface when you pull up your items and you're managing things and you equipping new items, and how the game sounds also too. It's just, I will give it to this game. This game sounds and feels and plays amazing. It is smother booth. It is like butter, okay? Like, it's just, they are really optimizing whatever engine they are using in this game because it looks and feels and plays awesome. During my first playthrough, obviously one of the biggest things here is that you saw a lot of callbacks to the beloved Resident Evil 4. I mean, you know, even when you first start the game in that village, you know, it just kind of just throws you back to where you start off in the game with Leon and you get ambushed in that village and you're just like, ah, shit, you know, you're running away from people, you're reloading, you're trying to manage your inventory all while getting ambushed by these people and these things. And Village starts off that way as well too, where you have all these werewolves guys, these lycans coming after you, and then the big guy shows up and you're panicking and you're like using your knife, you're using the powder in the village, you're using the bookshelves kind of blocking things off, you're like, you're moving around, this is like Resident Evil 4. And then you got, you know, obviously the merchant, you got the suitcase, and like even cutting up the fishes and animal and stuff, I thought that was pretty neat, you know. So there's definitely a lot of callbacks to Resident Evil 4. And the Duke was awesome. I thought he was one of the best characters in the game. You know, he's just there, you're throwing jokes at you, and you kind of see him like examining certain things at certain points in the game. So he was awesome, you know. And the story, the way that the game was moving, it was kind of like, you know, with Resident Evil 4, where like you start off in the village, then you go into the farm. It's the same thing with Resident Evil Village, where you are just constantly moving through different areas. You start off in the village, then you go into the castle, then you're like underground somewhere, then you're in a bayou, then you're in another castle. I mean, like another house, mansion, whatever you want to call it. And you're down there in the basement. Then I mentioned the bayou, you go back to the village, then you're in the factory, and then you're in some cave. Like, there's a lot of environments, kind of like Resident Evil 4, when it kind of kept you going. And at first glance, you know, it's the same thing with Resident Evil Village. You're constantly fighting, you're constantly engaged, or at least you think you are, right? And like, there's like enemies at certain points, people pop up. So it was kind of flowing in this hardcore difficulty. And I thought the story was mind-blowing, and like, you know, I was like, yo, what is going on? Like, that I feel so bad for Ethan. He's trying to get his daughter, fighting off these people, these, you know, they're taking his daughter, they're laughing at him, they're taunting him, they're like, you know, you feel sorry for Ethan because he's going through so goddamn much, and he already went through a lot in the first game. And in this game, you know, he loses 3 fingers. What's up with Ethan losing stuff with his hands? He gets his hand cut off, man, at one point in the game. Again, spoilers are coming in very hot after this, but just bear with me, because like, You really feel for the man. And the story, you're like, yo, like, I didn't think they could drag this on with Ethan and his story. But, you know, I thought it was pretty cool. And like, how you get to meet Mother Miranda, and you're like, oh, she's trying to bring back her daughter using Ethan's daughter, which at first glance, it's like, oh, yo, that's pretty cool. And then you're confronted with Chris, and you think he's the bad guy. You kind of see him sprinkled here throughout the game, and you're wondering, like, oh man, like, why is Chris acting like a dickhead? Like, this is not who this person is. And, you know, you're trying to figure it out, you're trying to piece it together. And then by the end of it, you find out that Spencer was involved, and he was actually kind of influenced by Miranda to make Umbrella. And, you know, you know she lost her daughter to the Spanish flu, and you're thinking, wow, like, that's so cool. You know, she's trying to bring back her daughter, and there's nothing like mother's love for her children. And you're like, all right, I fucks with that. I could dig with that. And, you know, it was an experience. Like, even with when you go into that house, Donna Beneviento, I thought that was the best part of the game, if I'm being honest with you. Like, when you go into that house and you see that screaming baby, bro. When I first saw that baby, everybody shat their pants, okay? That baby was, oh my. When I first heard it, I was playing it on my headset, and my fiance heard the baby yelling, and I had to pause the game because she was like, what is that? And I'm like, I don't know, babe. I'm running away from this thing, you know? You're like, I was genuinely scared. Like, my heart was going right. Whoever made that whole section, you know, that was beautifully done. Again, for someone that is a casual player playing this game for the first time, not a hardcore Resident Evil fan, I will give it praise there. It is an excellent experience for first timer and the casuals. Now, again, this is where I'm going to start getting into why I didn't like this game. But again, I'm going to skip on, and we'll go from the hardcore difficulty. I started to notice how, like, it easy the game was. You know, it's giving me a lot of ammo, giving me a lot of options and things like that. And I started to notice, like, if you branch off, that's where you find all the extra items and things like that. And I was branching off because I like to experiment. I like to view and see and find out all cool things to, you know, get all the juice out of the game so I can be fully prepared for the boss battles or things to come. And that was kind of like what I was missing from Resident Evil titles, is that, you know, like, you go into a room and you could find shotgun shells or you could find another zombie. But, you know, if you got the shotgun shells, like, later on, they're going to be very useful because you got extra ammo to blow up their heads and shit, you know? So, excuse my language. But anyways, and then I started to notice, like, yeah, you know, Chris was off, like, didn't really vibe with, like, where he was going. Like, I understand that Chris has been through a lot, but I was just like, at this point, I was like, this is it, like, is this really Chris? Like, I don't know. Like, this is my initial thoughts when I first saw him. I'm like, I'm not really vibing with this Chris right now. But I didn't pay too much mind to it. And by the end of it, he kind of was acting like his regular old self again. And then by the end of the game, you kind of know why he did what he did. But like, he didn't have to do all that. And even the characters in the game tell him, like, yo, you should have told him. But anyways, so then, you know, I'm thinking, like, wow, you know, the thing with Umbrella symbol throughout the game, and you kind of notice that all each of them represent the, you know, the four lords of the of the village. And going into those characters, you know, I love Dimitrescu. I loved Heisenberg. I thought the fish guy, Moro, was cool. And Donna was kind of like the weakest link because you don't really see much of her, like, again, through my first playthrough. But I was like, that's pretty cool. Like, she wasn't like the fighter. She wasn't like anything like that. She was just using her hallucinations and her dolls to deal with you. So I'll let it go. You know, it was pretty cool. They also established Ethan as, like, you being that character in Resident Evil 7. Like, he didn't really have a character in Resident Evil 7. What they do in Resident Evil Village is that they give this guy a whole character after they establish him as being, like, you know, just like a shell for you to use. And now they forced a character on him. It's the same thing with them forcing the story of Umbrella and stuff into Village just so it can have a cohesive story and all that stuff. Even the twist ending with him being dead already, I felt like that was forced, because I understand, like, in Resident Evil 7, you know, when he first, like, loses his arm and is able to put it back together, or his foot, you're like, yo, like, what? Like, this isn't real. Like, what is going on? You question that, but you don't really think about it for the rest of the game or even afterwards. But you're like, holy shit, like, you know, maybe you're just thinking, like, okay, well, this potion stuff is probably what's doing that, and that's that. Like, you don't think nothing of it, right? And they could have explained it at the end of Resident Evil 7, and it seems like they were already thinking about Village and already thinking about expanding that, because then they reveal it in Village that he's already been dead, which, again, it's a cool concept. Like, I thought it was cool, but again, it was forced along with his character, because I didn't really like Ethan, and, like, a lot of the things that he says, like, and listen, Resident Evil has always been known for doing a lot of these corny one-liners and things that they say, but the way Ethan does it, it doesn't fit, because they're forcing it into the game. They're forcing these cheesy one-liners, and you roll your eyes at them. Like, if you were gonna do this, you should have done it from the first game. Now, granted, in the first game, he kind of says certain things here and there, like a Resident Evil, you know, classic Resident Evil stuff, but again, it was forced, just like a lot of the stuff in this game. So then afterwards, I played Village of Shadows for the first time, and holy heck, that first time I played Village of Shadows, that shit kicked my ass. But it was the challenge that I was looking for, man, because I found myself a lot of the times with no ammo. I had to think of ways to, like, avoid fights and save ammo. I was like, even the first two zombies, or not the zombie, even the first two lichens gave me so much trouble. But, you know, like, I was trying to, like, move around, trying to find places to, like, kind of kite them around, use my knife, because I didn't have ammo to kind of slash at them, but they were eating my bullets, man. It was kind of frustrating, but I liked the challenge. You know, the Village section really, like, it got me, because I was there for a little bit. I was trying to, like, move around, see the best course options to, survive and stuff. And I'm gonna get into one of the parts that really bothered me, but that first fight against one of the first sisters, I think it's Bella or whoever that is, down in the kitchen in the basement, man, that one I took the longest, if I'm being honest. And even Miss Demi-Tress, man, like, when I first fought her, you know, she wasn't that hard, but on Village of Shadows, I was there for a minute. But I honestly thought that was kind of like my favorite fight in the whole game, because, like, it it's very intense, kind of like, you know, I mean, the dragon thing is, you know, it's kind of all over the place. That's a little ridiculous and stuff like that. But I really did like that fight, because, like, you felt Demetresk's frustrations for Ethan. She's like, yo, like, I'm going to kill your ass. Like, you pissed me the fuck off. You killed my daughters. You come in here, you know, making a fool out of me. You shoot me. You stab me. She's like, you can feel it. And then, like, you know, she says certain things throughout the fight. She's like, I'm going to eat you. I'm going to eat you. You know, like, and I'm just like, I wanted to kill her. I was like, she's going the heck off. And I'm like, you know, and the whole time I'm fighting, I'm like, all right, this is good. And then, you know, throughout the whole game, that this is where the second playthrough, and I go into Beneviento's house, and I'm like, all right, like, this is a complete waste of time. Like, I wish I could skip this whole thing, because the scare factor ran away, and it was just a segmented place with no ammo, no nothing. And I was like, I wanted to skip the whole thing, because it was like, there's nothing to do here. Nothing's going to scare me. Nothing changed. It's just doing it. So it was kind of like scripted. And I was kind of pissed off at that point. I was just like, all right, can we go? Can we go to the next session now? afterwards, you know, you go back to the village and the monsters are beating my ass, man. The Lycans, they were really hounding my shit. And then you go to Moro and that guy was a beast, man. He took so much ammo. He wasn't as hard as Dimitrescu, but man, did he take so long to die that first time. Like, I used everything down to my last bomb. I threw it. I was like, this is all I got left. If this don't work, I'm gonna have to use my knife. And surely enough, he died off of that last bomb. And when I finished the fight, no ammo or nothing. I had no health. I was red. Ethan was like limping after that fight. And then I saw Heisenberg's place was awesome. I thought it was pretty cool, like the way it was designed. There was a lots of enemies, lots of things to do. It's kind of like puzzle oriented too, where you had to take a key and go somewhere else and, like, you know, kind of navigate the place. And they added extra enemies and that was rough. Okay, like those extra guys in metal suits and stuff like that. That was rough. And Heisenberg, again, like he was a cool character, but his boss fight was kind of disappointing. Like, you know, you do the whole machine gun thing and then that's like, okay, and then you drop down and you can kind of go up to him. Like, even the first time I was fighting him, you know, with these big guys, I like to stay up close, and all I did was go up to him and shoot him in the back with the shotgun and kept circling him, and I was like, is this the fight? Like, that fight was just weak. Okay, I noticed that the first time, then the second time on Village of Shadows, like, it was a breeze. Like, I killed this dude in one. The first, you know, with the machine gun, you had to get used to shooting it, but for the most part, that fight was cake. And then Mother Miranda was hard. I'm not gonna hold you. She kicked my ass for a full day or so. But then I went to 100% the game. And I always do this because, again, like I said, you know, I like to get everything out of the game, see what I missed, more details in the story, see what else I can do, save ammo here, save ammo there, get all the treasure and all that stuff, upgrade to everything. And what I noticed is that, like, the only way that you can get all these extra stuff is if you deviate from the main path of the game, right? And this is where I started to notice that Village is actually just a straight line for the most part. Like, there's an illusion that the game is really opened up and that you can go here, you can go there, and the place is big. But when you really start to look at the sections that are open and available to you to branch off, there are a couple rooms that are open to get a little bit of bullets and little crates to open. But for the most part, the game is very, very linear. And I noticed this when I was playing the 100% run that, okay, so this isn't really necessary to progress through the game. But if you come back here, you get all this extra stuff, extra ammo, extra health, which is cool, but you don't have to do this. So then I started to, like, kind of skip certain sections of the game. And I noticed that, like, if you walk into certain cutscenes, enemies started to disappear. And it was the same thing in Village of Shadows. Like, in Village of Shadows, I started to run away from zombies because, like, yo, they would eat my bullets. I couldn't kill them. And then I noticed that the cutscenes would just make them disappear. And I was just like, okay. Going back to the old Resident Evil games, like, yeah, this happened in the old Resident Evil games where you can kind of reset the zombies when you walked in and walked out of the rooms. But this one, they just completely vanished. Like, they just, like, and that's another thing about the game, right? It's like, it feels open. It feels like there's so much going on. But again, it's narrowed down. So once you pass a section, once you get to the cutscene, that's it. It's done. It's over. And when you turn around, there's nobody there. It was just the weirdest thing. And I noticed this in Village of Shadows because now, you know, when I go into my second playthrough of Village of Shadows, this is the playthrough that really pissed me off. Because one, you know, I started off the game again. I'm skipping all the cutscenes, and I go into the village section and I'm like, yo, you're not really doing anything. You're just running away. And then that's another point that for the first whole section, I wasn't really playing a game. I was just kind of just holding forward and avoiding everything. You're thinking, all right, cool. Like, there's a bunch of people here. Maybe I'll see more of them throughout the village. And you're thinking, like, oh, since this is an open world, you will kind of get to interact with these villagers in some way, somehow. But they all die in that first section. And at first glance, in the first playthrough, yeah, that's pretty intense. Like, that's pretty crazy. But then, like, when you go back, you start to think, like, okay, so there, you never see any more villagers after that. you know, you see like a couple bodies here and there, like throughout the village when you're coming in and out, but you never see them again. And it just kind of disappointed me because I was just like, well, so what is this whole village thing here for anyways, right? Like, it would have been so much better if every time you came back to the village, like somebody else died or you had to help somebody or you had to go pick up some herbs or some fish for this family to feed them. Or like, you know, you had to stop a horde from coming into someone's house. Like, there was so much potential in there, but nothing was done with those villages. Again, they were just put in there and then boom, they're gone. Nothing happens with them. So you don't do anything in that part. Then you go to Dumitrescu's house, right? You fall under this cave and you have to run away, you know, from Heisenberg's traps. Still not playing the game, by the way. You then get to the house. And here's the thing, right? At first glance, this house is huge. It looks huge. It looks like you can go to so many places, but you can't. Like, literally, the whole house is a straightforward section with little bits of pieces of where you can get extra ammo and extra things to sell. But for the most part, you go straight through the experience. And that's where I was getting pissed off, because I was just like, yo, like, they're trying to act like this place is open world. It, you know, trying to throw it back to Resident Evil 1, but this is all empty. There's nothing to do here but go straight. You know, so then afterwards, like, you fight Dumitrescu and you're like, yo, like, she's only in this first part of the game. And again, they sold this character as this big thing in the whole game. And you get rid of her in the first hours of the game. Mind you, this whole house is like an hour after you spend an hour just going, you know, just running. Right then, what pisses me off even more is that the next session is all scripted. So you're not even playing the game. You're still not playing the game. You're holding forward to this whole baby section. Right. And again, this is my second time in Village of Shadows. And I'm just like, oh my, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. Like, I get it. It was good the first time, but now I'm not doing this anymore. So you go through that whole fight. You then finally go back to the village where you fight the werewolf for the first time. And that part is dumb because, like, you could just hide in the house and shoot the shit out of the wolf and nothing happens. You then go to Moro's, you know, the swamp place, and you're not fighting anything there. Like, there's nothing to do there but move forward. There's like two sections maybe where there's like lichens. And this is, I'm gonna pause this part. I'm gonna pause it right here and go back to Resident Evil 4, because the reason why Resident Evil 4 worked, right, was because it was constantly engaging you in fights, in interesting fights with regular villagers, with the chainsaw, with insects, with dogs. It was throwing mad things at you, okay? So many different fights. In Resident Evil Village, it seems like it's throwing fights at you, but one, you can run through most of them. Two, cutscenes are overpowered. And then three, when you kind of spot the fights in the game, they're far in between. Mind you, I'm like 3 hours into the game already, and I haven't, like, there's like a couple of enemies and a couple of hordes that I've had to fight. Not even, there's just like one or two enemies that I fought throughout this whole experience. And I'm up to the third boss, okay? The third boss. This is like more than halfway through the game. It's not until you come out of that place that it starts to feel like Resident Evil 4. Like, when you get to the, you know, when you go to the next part with like the den, with the wolf's den and all that stuff, you know, you fight more enemies in there. And obviously you can run away from them, especially in Village of Shadows. You don't want to be fighting all these guys because they're like bullet sponges. But you kind of get to play the game now. You kind of get to like fight and use your guns and run and heal and do what you're supposed to do, like in this game, like it was advertised as, right? And then you finish that part, you go into Heisenberg's Tower. And it's funny because a lot of people say that, you know, Heisenberg's Tower was like, it was the hardest part in the game, where they really didn't like it. But I actually thought that Heisenberg's place was pretty fun. Like, and in fact, it was kind of like a Resident Evil game where I had to make the keys and like use my map and kind of navigate where I was going to go, because there was going to be a metal dude waiting for me in some spot. But, you know, a lot of people complain about that part. Now, I'm not going to give it to Heisenberg, because that enemy, that whole boss fight is god awful. So there goes that. But then, like, you know, you go back and you fight Mother Miranda and then the game is over. And I'm just like, yo, like, this game is trash. And this is the problem with video games in general nowadays, is that, like, Resident Evil Village is a whole experience designed to be played one playthrough for the casual person. Spend, you know, one playthrough on it, maybe another playthrough, and they will leave being very satisfied and saying Resident Evil Village was a great time. And it succeeds in that. It does a very fantastic job. But for the people, the hardcore gamers and the hardcore Resident Evil fans, you're like, yo, what is this garbage? Like, this game for a Resident Evil fan could have not existed. They could have left Resident Evil 7 by itself. That's it. I would have been super satisfied. And here's why. Because, like, again, this is why I'm questioning now being a Resident Evil fan and like what's going to happen moving forward, because they are designing Resident Evil games to appeal to the more wider audience, the casual audience, because it's so mainstream that everybody knows Resident Evil. So when there's Resident Evil, they're just going to go buy and make money and boom, right? And that's exactly what Resident Evil Village was. But for the hardcore fan and hardcore gamer, you know, you when you really look at these things, they're like, they're forced and they're not really cohesive what they're trying to go for. Like, yeah, they're trying to go for the casual audience, but then they're like, oh yeah, here's a little sprinkler here, guys, for you Resident Evil fans. And you can argue that Resident Evil 7 did the same thing too. And both of the games sold really well. I'm not going to lie to you, but the thing about Resident Evil 7 that beats it over Resident Evil 8 is that like Resident Evil 7 actually still played more towards the hardcore fan in its design and the way that it flowed and stuff like that. And again, going back to the story, if you would have just left Resident Evil 7 like how it ended with, you know, little hints of Umbrella and Chris being there, that would have been the perfect ending to that whole story with Ethan and Mia and all that stuff, because you're like, wow, like there's stuff happening in the other parts of the world, in other states, and people are going through shit because, you know, this biohazard stuff is now worldwide in the universe. Like, you never know, you know, like somebody could be going through something in, like, I don't know, Missouri or something like that, or Ohio, right? Maybe there's something else that happens all the way in LA or something like that, right? But like, you can keep them in small condensed stories, and that would fuel that. If Resident Evil went in that direction with like, where like they were constantly throwing out lightning in a bottle stories and like, you know, a little connection here about how, you know, like, okay, this is part of the Resident Evil universe, maybe Chris couldn't help in this section, but maybe like, you know, you have Claire on the other side of the world, or you have like Leon on the other side of the world, and like he comes to help these people, but like they don't have to be involved. Like, you can have the BSAA, you can have whoever the good guys are, help them a little bit, or not even at all. You can just tell the story and call it, it's tied to the Resident Evil, because this is what's happening now, right? This is what the world is established as. Like, yo, like, this is a thing now. This is what they live in now. And they don't have to include, like, that's my argument here. If you're going to go in this direction, then don't include the characters. Don't include Chris. Don't give us Umbrella stuff. You don't have to do that. Just say this is a Resident Evil game in the Resident Evil universe, and maybe some people are going through stuff with the T-Virus here. Maybe somebody's going through stuff with the Plagas here. Maybe, you know, like, just leave it like that, and that's it. But instead, you're going to give us little bits and pieces to feed the hardcore fan. They'd be like, hey, this is still Resident Evil here. You know, take the Spencer with Miranda. Yeah, that's good enough for you, right? Okay, cool. Don't do that. Just make it a story and say it's part of the Resident Evil universe, and that's it. That's all you have to do. Don't sprinkle anything else in there. If you want to make a mainline title or mainline movie with the characters, do that by itself. That's a huge, huge topic that I wanted to get off my chest for the longest time. But overall, you know, like, it's just, I really tried to like Village. I really, really did. But, oh man, I could go on. I could have really went on with this game. I'm not going to talk about the Mercenaries because it's just a waste of time. Ain't nobody playing that. I'm telling you, even the casual people, they're going to play it one time and be like, this is boring. Peace. And that's exactly what happened to me, because I thought I was going to have fun playing this game. It looked fun. It looked awesome. You play a couple rounds of it, you're like, yo, this is boring as fuck. Then the DLC adds nothing to the story. I don't, like, oh man. Rose is another thing that, you know, I will explore later on in the Resident Evil universe, because now I think the next game is going to be revolve around Rose. I think they're going to cut off this whole Ethan, the Winters family, at the third game. So unfortunately, there's going to be another Resident Evil game like this with Mia. But oh man, I just felt like they could have delivered this stuff in a much better way. I just overall, like, again, if you are playing this game for the first time as a casual person, you're gonna love this game. This game is awesome for that. But as a Resident Evil fan and as a gamer, this game is not good. It's weak. It's more like a boss battle thing too. Like, you find out that you have to, you know, like, once you skip all the fights, you're just fighting the bosses, really, you know, at the end of the day. So that's all I gotta say about this game, man. I've been wanting to make this video for a very long time. I'm not gonna hold you, but I finally got it all out. I think I got it all out. I might make some corrections. I might make another follow-up video, but that's where I'm gonna land with that. Let me know what you guys think of Resident Evil Village. Did you enjoy it as a casual or even as a hardcore Resident Evil fan? Maybe we could talk about it. Maybe you could make me see more things. Even just as a casual gamer, maybe I'm just being blinded by the fact that I'm a Resident Evil fan and that I have played so many video games and that the game ended up being very easy and exploitable. You know, help me understand your dynamics and your viewpoints on that. But, you know, that's it. If you guys want to be a part of the Infinite Lives and Games podcast, please, please, please email me, message me, all that other stuff. You can find me on Instagram and YouTube as Infinite Lives and Games, except the Twitch, which is twitch.tv/SethInfinite. I'm actually going to be streaming this game soon. One whole run with no deaths. And then I'm just not going to play this game ever again. But that's just it. But guys, thank you so much for watching and listening. Truthfully, I'm trying to get out all this stuff about Resident Evil. I'm trying to just, like, really do these videos, and I'm just trying to get all this stuff that I'm really passionate about and then go into and venture into other stuff. But this is the stuff that, you know, like, this is my channel, this is my stuff, so I just want to get it all out and, like, really feel fulfilled in that department. If you guys are vibing with it, then please come along for the journey. But, you know, as always, guys, I want you guys to stay healthy, stay safe, and of course, stay infinite.